I'm Jim Steele. You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem. Jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University. And glad to have in the studio with us this afternoon the Chief Executive Officer of Family Services of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County, Bob Fikema. Welcome, Bob.
Thank you, Jimmy. Good to be here.
Well, I'm glad to have you here because you answered a whole lot of questions that I had regarding the subject at hand, and that is the Pre-K Priority Program. You all are doing a lot of great advertising on that, so we've heard a lot about the program and the significance of starting kids off with a strong education at a very early age. Now, Bob, as the CEO of Family Services, you're going to have to take a moment to get those of us of a certain age up to speed, because I'm 63, and I'm from a small town called Moxville, west of here.
I know Moxville.
And there was no such thing as kindergarten when I was a kid. So this whole kindergarten thing is a big deal. And, of course, pre-K, even younger than that. Let's talk about that and the significance. How young are we talking about starting kids off in education, and what do they learn in a strong pre-K program?
Well, pre-K is for the children in their year before they enter kindergarten. So in many ways, I would really refer to it as maybe today's kindergarten, because what children do in pre-K is get ready to succeed in school. And it really isn't something where, they may learn some ABCs, they may learn their colors and so forth, but the most important thing is to develop their social and emotional maturity, to be able to handle their feelings, their emotions, to be able to concentrate, exhibit self-control, because those are the things that are necessary to succeed in school. You can't learn unless you can concentrate. You can't really absorb knowledge if you're fussing and having a meltdown because of something going wrong. So that's what pre-K really does prepare children for. At the same time, they learn a lot about things, about numbers, about the environment, maybe about gardening if you happen to have an outdoor plot. So there's a lot of activities to learn from about science and other things. But as I said, Jimmy, the main thing is get out of pre-K, be socially and emotionally kind of on your age, and be ready to learn.
So you brought us up to date on pre-K, and some of the things you described, having meltdowns, for example. Is that what a four-year-old does?
Well, that's one way to call it. I think what happens is, and I think all of us, even as adults, you sometimes feel a surge of emotion and feeling. And what's important is what you do with it. The feelings are fine. We all have the feelings. What's important is what kind of behavior does it lead to, and can we regulate our emotions? Are we able in some ways to calm them? Not always control, but calm them, so it doesn't lead us into actions and behaviors that really are to our disadvantage, that do us no good. So that's really what's at stake when it comes to a child. The professionals have technical terms for these things. You know what they call it? Figure this out for a four-year-old. It's to develop executive function and self-regulation.
Wow.
It's a lot to put on a four-year-old.
That's a lot. And most of us just called it acting out.
Yeah, that's, I think, in everyday language. And we know kids can just kind of lose it. And that's not unusual. It's not normal. But what we try to do is to help them to develop their own self-control. And we have some special programs, really, that put coaches in the classroom to help teachers to intervene with a child who's experiencing that kind of emotional surge, to help them to be able to exercise self-control on their own, to learn how to do that. So, again, that's the critical component in pre-K to get kids ready for school.
People have been hearing about the program. If you are a parent, you know about the program and the value of it. If you're a teacher, you know about the program and the value of it. But if you're just your average person that is really a few steps away from anyone in kindergarten or pre-K, you only know about it. It sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like the sort of thing that we should just normally have. So you're right now working actually to put something like this in place permanently, because it's a tool that we don't really have.
We don't have enough of it. We have some in Forsyth County. We operate the Head Start program, Family Services does, and that includes pre-K. As a matter of fact, we have some classrooms right here on campus at WSSU. We run the Child Development Center and Learning Laboratory. I think we've been here for close to 10 years now. So that's a quality program. There are some pre-K classrooms in the school district that are of good quality. North Carolina has an excellent state-funded program called North Carolina Pre-K. The trouble is, at best, these programs barely reach about a third of all of the children who are 4 years old in Forsyth County. And those who would be eligible, say, for the North Carolina Pre-K program, in Forsyth County, we have about 2,700 children who could be eligible for it, four-year-olds, 2,700. That's out of about 4,500 four-year-olds at any time in our county. But we only have funding for 740.
So that's a lot of kids that are being left out.
It certainly is.
So the task at hand right now, and that's what you all have been talking about, and family services and educators have been talking about for a long time, is making sure that we put something like this in place that will reach all kids of this age. So what's the task at hand, and how can listeners get involved and make sure that this is part of our school system?
Well, the pre-K priority really consists of representatives of about 20 organizations that have come together, all of them having something to do with early learning. And we have really worked over the last 3 to 4 years to put in place a lot of information, reports, studies, and recommendations for how to go about expanding pre-K in our community. They all can be found on our website. That's www.prekpriority. That's all one word. .org, prekpriority.org. And you'll find a load of information there about pre-K and about what we recommend can happen in Forsyth County. It's something we can do, but we're going to need some initial resources. Surprise. You know, you don't do this for free, but communities across the state, even across the country, are investing in expanding pre-K. And we want to be taking the lead in that in our state. Forsyth County should be at the forefront in terms of preparing their young children not only to succeed in school. This is a preparation for life. These are the parents, the workers, the citizens of the future. And study after study has demonstrated that a high-quality pre-K experience lasts a lifetime. We like to say at Family Services, what happens in the first 5 years of life lasts a lifetime. So this is something that, again, we need to really encourage our civic leaders and our elected officials to become pre-K champions. And right now, we're really looking to get established a community-wide pre-K and actually early childhood task force to develop a plan, a formal plan for how we can get from where we are to making this an opportunity for every four-year-old. And so we want our elected officials to officially establish such a task force. And we can use the help of the public. On our website, we have templates for letters that you can, you know, personally fashion yourself, but at least it's a start that can be sent to our elected officials, our county commissioners in particular.
Bob Thigema is the Chief Executive Officer of Family Services of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County. He's playing a big role in the pre-K priority and getting this as an established part of our educational system. We've been talking about that, and you just touched on a way that parents can get involved. Those who are listening at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem, jazz in all its colors, can get involved by going to your website. But this is really a great opportunity for, once again, for parents to take control of the educational process of their children. What is your call to action for parents, those out there who are listening, who say, I don't want my kid to be disadvantaged. I want my child to be a part of a strong pre-K program. What is your charge to them?
Well, one of the things we do have on the website is actually a pre-K pledge, where anyone can go to the website and they can sign on and they can put their own contact information on the pledge that supports expanding high-quality pre-K in our community. That way, we can also provide them with information that we develop about pre-K. As a matter of fact, we have some programs on the web, webinars that are upcoming that really get into what is pre-K is about. This coming Tuesday at 5 o'clock, October 13th, we have a webinar on quality in pre-K. What is quality? Because that's very important, Jimmy. All pre-K programs are not created equal. There are quality standards that have to be met if they're going to be successful. I think you might want to tune into this, too, because one of the panelists on our program on Tuesday is Dr. Beth Day Hairston, who is the chair of the Department of Education here at WSSU. And Dr. Hairston has been a real contributor to the pre-K priority. She served on our workforce education and training work group. And, of course, that's key. The key to successful pre-K are qualified, competent teachers who really are not only passionately committed, but really know how to reach and teach and help four-year-olds develop. Winston-Salem State University is our local source of high-quality lead pre-K teachers.
You make a very important point there, because while we're talking about pre-K, getting our youngest off on the right course of getting a great education and learning how to behave and learn and be strong in an educational environment, that goes all the way up to where we are right now, Winston-Salem State University. And of course, education is a great historical component of this campus, because long before we were known for a lot of other things, we were known as a teacher's college. So TC, as my mother referred to it, has always played a role in education in the community. And here at Winston-Salem State University, you make a good point in saying that the university is a major component of a program like pre-K.
Definitely. No, again, it's been shown over time that that quality factor comes from a teacher who really has the tools and the support to be able to educate young children. And, you know, it's not a once and done thing. What's important after a student graduates, they get their BK license, birth to kindergarten license. There's a special license for teaching early childhood. Once they get that, you get into the classroom and you face some unusual situations a lot of time. Let me tell you, think about being in a classroom with 18 four-year-olds and one other teacher. 18 four-year-olds. There's a lot going on and a lot to handle. And teachers need ongoing professional development. They could use mentors. I mentioned a program before where we have coaches in the classroom to support teachers when it comes to how do you handle a difficult situation with a child who just may be distraught, who may be distracted, who may be, you know, pulling and punching at one of the other children. Those are really on-the-spot challenges that teachers really need to know how to master. As a matter of fact, an interesting statistic I came across, I think this is true almost of all teachers, but I think certainly of pre-K, is that the main reason that teachers leave the field is not money. It's classroom management.
Yeah. Bob Feikema, CEO of Family Services, talking with us about the pre-K priority. I'm Jim Steele. You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem. Jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University. And we're talking about the significance of a strong pre-K program. But as the CEO of Family Services, who better to talk about this? Because when you're looking at family services, you're talking about the full spectrum of everything that you do in a community to support the family.
We do have a broad range of programs. As I mentioned before, we do operate the Head Start program and the Early Head Start program, which is for children from birth up to age 3. And we've been doing Head Start here in the community for about 55 years. So it's a core program that we've been providing, but we also have licensed clinical social workers and professional counselors on our staff who provide behavioral health services, family counseling, individual counseling for individuals experiencing depression, anxiety, as well as working a lot now these days, Jimmy, with children who have experienced childhood trauma. And that's become a very important part of what we do, because it's been found that children who experience trauma, and by that, it's often defined as issues where parents may have substance abuse problems, mental health problems. It could be child abuse or neglect. It could be the loss of a parent, to death or imprisonment. These are traumatic experiences that can really affect negatively a child's growth and development and how they are as an adult. And so that's something that our therapist has special training to deal with. And speaking of trauma, the other area that we deal with is domestic violence. We're the primary community provider of domestic violence services to women and men who are experiencing not only physical abuse, but, you know, domestic violence comes, unfortunately, in many forms, and a lot of it has to do with the control that one partner exercises over the other to the detriment of the other. So that's a broad range of things that we do, and what we find these days is they're not all separate and distinct, you know?
Yeah.
These things kind of intersect sometimes in the lives of families, and we look at it that way and really try to work with the whole child and the whole family around the full range of what issues they're dealing with. If we can't do it, it's up to us to get them also connected with another agency that can provide them that assistance.
During this time of COVID-19, of course, students and educators have been out of the classroom for the most part, online teaching. And what a great opportunity for something like this, for people to sit down and talk by web about the pre-K priority and what parents and interested parties can do to support this. The pre-K priority part of our community, it's something that we want to make stronger in the community. You talked about the equity report, attaining educational equity in Forsyth County through high quality pre-K. And you came up with this to actually, I guess, show how important pre-K is. And what did you find in the study? Once again, you talked about so many of the kids who are not being served.
Right. Well, you know, I think many of the listeners probably are familiar with the fact that our young children have not doing as well as they might in the early grades. We have children coming into kindergarten, and they do an assessment to see if they're kind of ready to learn to read in later grades, and more than half are not. If I have the numbers right, about 72% of Hispanic children are not at risk of not being able to learn to read in later grades, about 53% of African-American young children, and even at this point, 39% of white children. I mean, this is a problem now that goes across all groups.
Yeah.
And it's something that as a community we have to address, because what happens, and it's kind of been demonstrated, that prediction or that assessment of having difficulties in later years unfortunately comes to pass.
Yeah, exactly.
Because by third grade, we have low reading proficiency scores. So it's been demonstrated, and I'm not here to talk about a silver bullet.
Exactly. You know, it's just another tool.
The last one left when the Lone Ranger retired, right? That was the last silver bullet. So there are many things that go into supporting children, having them ready to learn, nutrition. You know, I can name all kinds of them, and to support families. But pre-K has been demonstrated, when it's of high quality, and I want to underscore that all the time, high quality, has been demonstrated in many studies, including some of them right here in North Carolina, to really have an impact on children's being ready to learn, and by the time they get to third grade, to be more proficient at learning than if they didn't have the pre-K experience. So it's one of those things where the science is clear. You know, we haven't gotten into that too much, but we're talking about brain science here. You know, we're not just talking about kids growing up. Our teachers, our pre-K teachers, are brain builders.
Ah.
That's what their job is. It's to help to form the architecture of the brain, to get those synapses working and connected so that the child is able to succeed in school, to develop that executive function and self-regulation, and to really be able to plan and concentrate. So that science is solid. If we miss the opportunity when children are young to contribute to that growth and development of the brain, we miss an opportunity that's really hard to make up for later on. And I think educators know that. We find that. The time, while you have to really continue throughout K through 12 and beyond to support children's learning, if you get to 11 or 12 and you've missed the boat at age 4 and 5, you've got a lot of work to do to help that child to be able to catch up.
Bob Thikama, CEO of Family Services, here talking about the Pre-K Priority Program. We thank you for coming by, but before you leave, once again, people who have been listening and are interested in being a part of this webinar, tell them what to expect, how to become engaged with this, and how to take part.
Again, I would direct them to our website, which is www.prekpriority, all one word, and there's no hyphen in there. I want to emphasize that. Sometimes pre-K has a hyphen in it, but this is just prekpriority, one word, .org, and there you will find information, studies, resources, and connections to the webinars that we've had. We've had some in the past, Jimmy, and they're recorded. So there are previous webinars that people can tune into, and we have the one coming up on the 13th. Featuring Dr. Beth Day Hairston, that is going to focus on this issue of what's high quality. And high quality, it is something you have to pay for. You know, it doesn't come free, but boy, it makes a difference. The return on investment that studies have found is anywhere from $7 to $12 for every dollar spent in terms of increased productivity, in terms of the ways that as adults, these young children, when they become adults, can make a contribution to their community and to society.
Bob Thikama, CEO of Family Services of Winston-Salem and Forsyth County, we thank you for coming by, and you're invited back for an update.
All right. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're listening to Afternoon Jazz at 90.5 FM, WSNC Winston-Salem, jazz in all its colors from the campus of Winston-Salem State University.